They had their baby boy. I believe it's Ian Logan Turner. So you can congratulate them. Congratulations to them. If you can take your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 19. Do you ever find yourself being in a hurry? Well, I think that kind of characterizes life, you know, here in the 21st century, is being in a hurry. You know, there are so many things that we are in a hurry about that maybe we shouldn't be in a hurry about. But there are things that sometimes we ought to be in a hurry about that we are not in a hurry about. And sometimes the physical things of life that sometimes maybe don't matter as much as we think they matter, we get in a great hurry about, but sometimes the spiritual things that really matter in life, we're really slow on. You know, we're like the, you know, pokey little puppy, and we're hoping we can get that meal. And, you know, even though we're poking around, we're still going to get the spiritual benefits of those that are moving along. But then one day we find that maybe we are too late. The second stanza of Softly and Tenderly says, why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies for you and for me? And it says, time is now fleeting. The moments are passing from you and from me. On the third stanza, shadows are gathering. Deathbeds are coming for you and for me. In Genesis chapter 19, we find that the time was fleeting for Lot. Destruction was coming upon the city of Sodom. But we find that Lot was lingering. When it was time for Lot to move, Lot was lingering. You know, the question is, why did Lot linger? Here in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15, it says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So here the angels tell him, hey, there's going to be destruction that's coming. You better take your daughters. You better get your, get out of here. Earlier, they were warned. It says in verse number 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, verse 12, son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot was well aware here that destruction was coming upon the city. But when he was told to take his wife, when the morning arose, he was told to take his wife and his two daughters and to get out of the city. What did he do? Verse 16, and while he lingered, he waited, he tarried. He didn't arise, he didn't hasten the matter just as the men were trying to hasten Lot. The question this morning, why did Lot linger? Well, I think there may be a few reasons of why Lot lingered. I think, first of all, he had become too comfortable in Sodom. In verse number 1, where did the angels find him? And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. You know, was Lot aware of any destruction that might be coming to the city of Sodom? From his conversation here, he says, and ye shall rise up. First of all, he's at the gate of Sodom. He could have been in some type of leadership in the city, becoming a part of the city. His family had become a part of the city. His daughters were married to the people of the city. And this had become his home. It does talk later on about the men said how he had come to sojourn there, but he was coming and living in the city. And in fact, these men come, and you would think that he probably could see some sort of difference in them. They obviously would have been different from the men of Sodom. And you know, if he would have been thinking about the sin of that city and how wicked it is, you wonder what he had been thinking about God. Now, this is maybe speculation, but thinking about, you know, what's going to happen to the city. You know, I wonder if God's destruction is going to come upon this city. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder if God would warn me before that destruction came. But here these men come, and obviously they would have been much different than the men of Sodom. And Lot acts as if, well, ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. Life will just continue on as normal. Nothing's going to change. Lot was sitting at the gate. He had become a part of the city of Sodom, and he had become too comfortable in Sodom. You know, I wonder, in this day and age in which we live, are you becoming too comfortable? You know, the people in Hebrews chapter 11, the people of faith, they looked for what? They looked for another city whose builder and maker was God. You know, Lot stopped living by what? He stopped living by faith. He stopped looking for that city. He got his eyes off of heaven. He got his eyes off the future and became comfortable in the city of Sodom. You know, we are in this world, but we are not to be of this world. And if you begin to become comfortable in the day and age in which we live, this day of wickedness, this day of perverseness, you think of the morals of our land and how they are just going down the tubes, and things that even 15, 20 years ago would have maybe been thought unthinkable are becoming more and more commonplace in our society. And we, as if you are a believer today, you ought not to be getting comfortable in the day and age in which we live. Otherwise, it will lead to what? When it's time to move, and obviously the time to move out of Sodom had come long before, he never should have entered. You're going to what? You're going to sit. And destruction is going to become to your family. I believe another thing that kind of goes along with the first one, why did Lot linger? He had become too connected to Sodom. First of all, he had become too comfortable in Sodom, but secondly, he had become too connected to Sodom. There's too many ways in which he had connected his life to the wicked city of Sodom. We already mentioned some. First of all, he's sitting at the gate. He could have been in some sort of rulership in the city. Secondly, his what? Well, his children had married people of the city. What does it say here? In verse number 14, in 13, they say, in verses 12, 13, and 14, they're asking him, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So Lot goes. It says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his what? Which married his daughters. So we find here he had made too many connections within that city. You know, the more connections you make in a place, the harder it is for you to leave a place. You know, if you've got all sorts of connections in a place, and somebody comes to you and say, hey, you know, why don't you just come with us? We're going out west. You know, but yet, you know, your family's there. Maybe you've had five generations, you know, that have lived in that place. We were just up in Oshkosh, and the man that was help running the Bearing Precious Seed, where they help put together Bibles or Romans. And he was saying that his children were like the 14th, I believe he said 14th generation. If Philip's here, was that right? 14th somewhere. It was a really long number of, went way back, of family that had been in that area. I could be wrong, but it was a big number of people that had lived in that area. Maybe it wasn't 14. I can't remember, but that seems like the number that pops in my mind. But, you know, connections. The more connections you get in a place, the harder it is to leave. But here, Lot had made the wrong kind of connections to this city. He's getting involved in the city. Do you think he was getting involved in the city so, you know, he could go around preaching to these men, warning them of their wickedness? Well, probably what would have happened is the men would have probably kicked him out. But he had come connected to this. His own children were marrying the people of this city. And then when it was time to leave, because this city was destroyed, was going to be destroyed, he what? He lingered. Too many connections. You know, I wonder, how many connections are you making with the world? The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This system that is organized. You know, we don't live in a haphazard system of unrighteousness. We live in a system that is organized in rebellion against God. And as believers, we better be careful about making connections with this world in which we live. Because what will happen? Well, you will tarry in it. And God's going to say, it's time. You need to get rid of that. Somebody's going to preach a message against something in your life or some kind of sin, and you've tarried. And you've made too many connections. And you're going to what? You are going to tarry in that sin, and it is going to bring destruction upon your life. You know, how did it all start? Well, back in Genesis chapter 13, what did Lot do? He chose the well-watered plains, and we'll turn to the verse. It's a familiar verse, but we'll read it. Genesis 13, verse 12, says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and did what? And pitched his tent toward Sodom. It started with a what? With a direction. You know, but it may have even started before then, when Abraham went down to Egypt, and what? And Lot was with him. And Lot saw the what? Saw the world. So it may have started with a taste of the world. And then in his own family, it started what? It started with a direction. It started with him pitching his tent toward Sodom. And I wonder this morning, what direction have you chosen for your life? I'm not asking what are you involved in right now. I'm asking what direction have you chosen for your life to go in, and what direction have you chosen for your family to go in? You know, because right now, you may not yet be reaping the results of the decisions that you have made, but there is a direction that you are going in. You know, and all of us know, you know, you could have an angle right now. You know, maybe it's a 45 degree angle. And the first couple feet of that angle, you know, we could have a couple people, you know, start right up here at the front of the platform. Maybe we shouldn't choose a 45 because they'd walk right into the pews. But, you know, the beginning of that angle, maybe we could even choose a lesser angle, maybe even a 1 degree angle or 2 degree angle. And they could make it all the way out through those doors. But if they keep going long enough and far enough, I mean, they may be able to walk for a ways. Maybe it's only a half a degree. Wasn't much difference. But the further you go with that angle, the greater what? The greater distance between those two points, between the two people. You know, sometimes we think that the decisions that we're making aren't affecting us that much. You know, that little program that you're deciding to watch, it doesn't seem that bad. But you're what? You're opening up a direction for your life. And where is that direction going to take you? You know, at the beginning, Lot may have not thought this was that bad of a decision. It may have looked very financially plausible. But it what? It ended up choosing a direction for his family. And that decision ended up in the destruction of his family. Even to the point that when the spiritual destruction had already taken place, but even to the point that when the physical destruction was about ready to take place, he what? He lingered. He couldn't move out. And you think, you know, if there was a bomb in your house and somebody came, maybe the police came, the bomb squad came and said, hey, there's been a bomb planted in your house. And if you don't get out quick, it's going off in about 15 seconds or it's going off in 1 minute and you better get your family out. And you can stand there and think, well, I've got a lot of good things in there. I don't want my house to be blown up. You know, I have, you know, my, you know, I have this antique clock that, you know, my great-great-grandma gave to me. And if that bomb goes off, I'm going to lose my clock. Can't you guys do anything to stop that bomb? You know, and, well, folks, big deal about your clock. When your family's inside the house, you better get in there and rescue them. You know, but Lot, what? He lingered. He didn't see the destruction. He had become too comfortable. He had become too connected to Sodom. And it all started because of a direction that he had chosen for himself and for his family. You know, at the beginning, it may have looked very financially plausible. Look at these well-watered plains. Look at the great success that my family is going to have if we choose to take our lives in this direction. You know, you think of some of the professional sports players today. You know, they may have some great financial futures ahead of them. Just heard on the radio the other day, a man that used to play for the Packers. And, you know, now his life's a mess. You know, something happened. I think he got an injury. And he became addicted to some painkillers. And I think most of his money's all gone. You know, there's a what? There's a direction. What direction have you chosen? Lot not only became too comfortable, not only had he become too connected to Sodom, but thirdly, he had compromised his morality and given in to the morality of Sodom. You say, how do you know that? Well, first of all, look at what took place. Here's these men that had come into the city, and some of this you don't even want to speak about. But here's these men come into the city, and the men of the city come up to the house. And Lot says, verse 7, he says, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. All right, so Lot still had some semblance of morality in his life. There was still a level of morality that Lot had in his life. And he says, don't do so wickedly. Preaching against the sin of sodomy here. He says, don't do so wickedly. Verse 8, but he says, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And in a sense, it almost seems like he's not even... He's just preaching, here's some guests, and you ought to be careful of them. I'm not even sure how deep his sense of morality was, but here he's saying, here's my daughters. Take them and do with them. Well, obviously, Lot's morals had what? Had gone down the tube. And he had compromised his morality. And why was he lingering? You know, he probably didn't see how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah was. You know, yeah, he may have recognized some of their wickedness, and his morals may have been somewhat different than the men of the city, but there was some compromise that had taken place in his life. You know, the more wicked a society is, you know, the easier it can be to compromise in the smaller areas. Why? Because there's still a contrast. You know, Lot's living in the city, and he may have seen a contrast between himself, maybe even some of his children, and the people of the city. But the city was so wicked that his contrast was what? Was way off. And the Bible says we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. And you may say, well, you know, my standards of conviction for my family are higher than that person's over there. But you know what? You may not be measuring your standards or your convictions of righteousness and holy living with God's standard. And therefore, you're going to be off. Or you may, you know, imagine if it was 100 years ago and somebody took your family and plopped it in society 100 years ago. What would they think of your family? You know, today, in today's society, your family might look pretty good. In today's society, your family might look like it has some good morals. You know, in today's society, your family might look like it has some pretty good dress standards. But you took your family and you plopped it in society 100 years ago that had more morality than our society today. What would people think of your family? And greater than that, if your family was ushered into the throne room of heaven and had to stand in the presence of the holiness of God, what would God think of your family's morality and your convictions? You know, Lot had given in. He had compromised his standards. You know, maybe the city didn't seem so wicked as it once had. But God saw the wickedness of the city. And destruction was coming. And it didn't matter what Lot thought. He could linger all he wanted. But the destruction was going to come. And we find that the Lord was merciful to Lot and that he brought him forth and set him without the city. You know, have you begun to compromise in your family? Have you begun to compare yourselves with maybe other Christians who have compromised themselves, and you think, well, I'm still a little better than they are. And you have forgotten that your standard is not what other people do, but your standard is what is written in the Word of God. You know, it can be so easy to compare what we are doing with what other people are doing. You can always find somebody that's doing a worse job, usually, than what you're doing. And we ought not to compare ourselves with others. We need to keep ourselves in the Word of God. You know, we are living in a generation that is coalescing with the world. We are living in a generation when Christian colleges and places of learning are lowering their standards because the world has changed. But the fact is the God in whom we serve has not changed. And you know, are we going to linger when the destruction comes, or are we going to move and live for God? You know, it's interesting that what happened when Lot came to warn his children. It says here, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up! Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. His sons-in-law viewed what Lot was saying as a joke. What? What are you saying? Now the question is, and I think we've covered a lot of it already, why did his sons-in-law think that what Lot was saying was a joke? Well, either Lot didn't have full comprehension yet of what was going to take place in the city. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Lot was what? Lot was with them in the city, enjoying what was going on, had chosen the direction for his family, had partaken of some of the sin of the city, and now he's saying, hey, this place is going to be destroyed. We better get out. You know, down in his heart, Lot was what? Lot knew the way of righteousness. The Bible says, the book of Peter, how his righteous soul was what? Vexed from day to day in seeing and hearing the acts of the wicked people that were there. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it. His righteous soul was vexed. It was worked on. You know, and so down inside he might have known, but his children what? His children didn't have that. You know, he came to them, he was participating in it himself, and maybe there was a conscience that was, at one time was working, but had become worn down. But now he comes to his children, and it was like he was making a joke. And they didn't believe him. What in the world are you saying? Can you imagine that? You know, you think of parents who say, you know what? They're going to make the decision, and they keep their children in the public school. And then their children come to them a few years later, And their parents are saying, well, evolution, that's crazy. And their kids are laughing at them. Oh, that's a joke. Why? Because they chose a direction for their family. Or young people that send their children somewhere and they lose their standards while they're at that place and come back and laugh at their parents. You know, is that what you want to take place in your family? Well, there is a direction that Lot chose. And his children came back, his sons-in-law, and laughed at him when God was going to destroy the city. You know, parents, we need to wake up. You know, it's not time to linger. The fact is that Lot had lingered far too long in the city. And this is just the pinnacle, so to speak, of the lingering that took place, in that when the destruction was imminent, was ready to take place, Lot tarried. And it was just a sign of what was a buildup of many years of being in the city of Sodom, because he had lingered far too long. You know, when God's working in our hearts, when we know we ought to make a directional change to go forward for God, we better do it, because we don't know how long or how far we're going to go down the pathway that we are in. And then destruction's going to come, and it's going to be right there, and we won't even see it about ready to happen. You know, the story of Mount St. Helens and how it erupted, it's almost a classic illustration of what took place with Lot and his family. You know, one of the men, and probably maybe many of you know of the man, but Harry Truman, and not the Harry Truman that was the president, but Harry Truman, an elderly man that lived there and had a lodge on the lake. His wife had already died, had lived there many years, and loved the mountain, like lived on Spirit Lake. You know, he didn't want to leave. In fact, there were people, I think, that had written him letters. I don't know what all the letters were about. But there was one elementary class that sent him letters. And he actually, a few days, May 18th is when the volcano erupted. And it was a few days before that he actually flew to this elementary classroom and spoke to these elementary students. And I think someone asked him this question. And the question was, what would you do if you saw lava coming towards you? And his answer was that he would run. Well, you know what? That mountain erupted so quickly that he didn't have any time to run. I believe the lava was moving at a rate of 500 miles per hour. He didn't have any time to run. You know, but we think, you know, that destruction is going to come. Or some people think, well, I'm going to put off making the Lord Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I'm going to put off getting saved. I'm going to put off trusting the Lord. And when that time in life comes, you know, when I see that I'm about ready to die, I'll accept the Lord. We don't always have time to know when that destruction is coming. And we better make the decision to move our lives forward for God while we have the opportunity. You know, Harry Truman died. He had every chance in the world to leave that mountain, but he wanted to stay there. But you know what? He probably didn't want to die there. In such a fashion, at least. Maybe he thought he'd die a natural death. But the lava came, and he perished. It was interesting. They had a zone on the mountain where people could not go through. There was a zone on the mountain that people could not go through. And there was a book written, Mount St. Helens, The Eruption and Recovery of a Volcano. And one of the sheriffs was quoted as stating, people went over, under, through, and around every time we tried to restrict access to what we believed were dangerous areas. It says there were even maps sold showing how to get around our blockades on the mountain. So here's people, I mean, watch out, this volcano is going to erupt. What were they doing? They're trying to get to it. Doesn't make any sense. But you know what? The fact is, we do the same thing spiritually. God wants us to put blockades. God puts blockades up and says, don't cross this line. And Christians say, I can cross that line. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, that's crazy. You have that conviction in your life? But God set it up for a reason. And we think, I can play with it. I can do what I want. And just like these people, in fact, they were paying for a map to get around these blockades. You know, there were, in fact, the website I was reading, and it was, a website that had been set up about Mount St. Helens. And it said that there were, in fact, local, it talked about how many believe local governments were pressured by logging companies to keep the restricted zone smaller. But David Johnson and other the geologists, USGS officials, warned and said to make the restricted zones larger. But the logging companies are going to lose millions of dollars because of all the trees that were on the mountainside. And they can be thankful that actually when the volcano took place, I believe it was on a Sunday morning, and the logging people had not been out in the forest yet. And there could have been maybe possibly thousands more, or many more people that died in the eruption if those people would have been out doing their logging. You know, it says that weeks before things seemed to quiet down. And people were tired. They were tired of the disruption to their lives and wanted the blockades removed. And it's interesting, I don't know if I got the quote exactly right, but it said, many people had been lulled into a false sense of security because of the mountain's recent silence. Many people had been lulled into a false sense of security. You know, it seems like what happens to us. We get lulled into sleep. You know, maybe a little reprieve comes. You know, all of a sudden, you know, 9/11 took place in the United States. And everyone's waking up. But then there's been a reprieve. People go right back. Living their own lives. Not factoring God into their lives. Thinking they can go on in their own pathway. Or maybe even in your family, something happened. Maybe a couple years ago. Maybe sooner. And God woke you up. And you said, you know, we better make a change in our life. But then the silence comes. And you're lulled back into sleep. You know, you wonder what took place in Lot's life. What kind of warning signs came in his family? But he just continued on in the city. You know, people tired of the disruption to their lives. Come on, get these blockades out of here. We want to get back in the mountain. The fact is, they know of 57 people, I believe it's 57 people that died in the eruption of Mount St. Helens. And there could have been more. One person that had been rescued that was right on the border of the blockades, and he was in the safe zone, but he was right next to the border, said that he saw people in the unsafe zone, people that may have not even been accounted for. So it could have been more than 57. But there's 57 that were accounted for that died. And only 4 of them were in the blockaded zone. Because why? Well, maybe they should have listened to the warnings to make those blockades bigger. And you might be saying, well, I'm in the zone that most people say is what I should stay away from. You know, but the one who really knows, the God of the Bible, says you better stay out of this zone too. But you're just listening to what maybe the people, official people are saying. Who are you going to listen to? The danger is there. 57 people died, many of them. You know, many of those people, many of them were in the safe zone. But if they would have maybe listened to some of the other warnings that were taking place, you know, if all the people that wanted to be on that mountain could have been there, how many more people would have lost their lives? Do you heed the warnings? Another question is, why do you linger? Why did Lot linger? Well, he didn't truly what? he didn't truly realize the destruction that was coming. You know, sometimes we may only have one chance. You think of Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when God called, told the people to go into the promised land. And the 12 spies went, and they searched out the land. And 10 of the men said, we can't go into this land. The people are too big. You know, there's giants in the land. We're not able to overcome them. But Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to overcome them because the Lord was on their side. And the people decided to what? Go with the people that had no faith in what God could do. Yes, the people were greater. Yes, the people had more physical strength, possibly, in human eyes. But in spiritually, they had no strength compared to God. But they had one chance. And they failed that chance. You know, what are you going to do with the chance that God has given you today? Are you going to make the decision that Lot made? First of all, make that direction. Maybe right now the decision is before the direction. You're just thinking. You're just maybe thinking about the things that you saw. Maybe Lot saw those things in Egypt and was just thinking about them. Boy, how great it would be to have those luxuries. And then he made the direction. And then he continued down that direction. Are you going to take that chance? You know, you think of Jonah. Jonah didn't follow God. When he told him to go to Nineveh, he lingered. He went the wrong way. And God had to what? He had to be thrown overboard out of the ship, get swallowed by a great fish. Had to be in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. Go into the depths of something utterly, really disgusting. For God got his attention. And then he goes to the city and he preaches. Then afterwards just displays his selfishness as he was more concerned about the plant that was shading his head than the people that were dying in the city of Nineveh. Are we lingering? Maybe we're lingering. Maybe it's not a directional change in our family. Maybe we're lingering about lost souls that we know we need to witness to. Or we're lingering about somebody that we know we need to give the gospel to. Why are we lingering? Why do we linger? Because we don't know when the destruction's coming. And if we knew, you know, that person's going to die in 1 week, what do you think we'd do? You know, if we knew that our son or our daughter or whoever was going to make that choice to go the wrong direction, don't you think we would have made the change beforehand? The whole city was going to be destroyed. They tried to hasten Lot, but he didn't sense the urgency of the moment. They said, lest thou be what? Lest thou be consumed. You know, what is it going to take in your life for God to get you to move? Is it a warning or will God have to force you? Notice in Lot's life, the warning didn't work. It says, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord, what? Being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Here in this instance, God was what? God was merciful to Lot. And he brought him out of the city. But what had happened? God had said, don't look back. And what took place? You read a few verses later, and what happened? Where was his wife's heart? His wife's heart was in the city of Sodom. What did she do? She looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. You know how far Lot's family had gone. You know, where is your heart this morning? Where is your heart gone? You know, why did they linger? They didn't see the destruction coming. And what happens when you linger? Well, what does lingering bring? Well, that's when the destruction comes. You know, why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies for you and for me? You know, the Lord being merciful unto him. But you look at Lot's family. Lot left the city. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. And then he and his two daughters left the city. And what happened? His daughters committed a great sin. And you look at the destruction of Lot's family because of the decisions that he had made to enter into Sodom. You know, you might be viewed, you know, people out in the world might think, you know, you're a little crazy for what you believe in. You know, they might think, man, why won't you wear this? Or why do you always have to wear that? Or why are you always going to church? You know, they might think you're a little crazy. But you know what? Lot probably would have wished that the people of Sodom had thought he was a lot more crazy than what they thought. Actually, he probably wished he never would have even gone that direction. You know, and today, in the age in which we live, are we willing to be thought of maybe as a little crazy? Now, we don't need to do things, you know, do something dumb so people think we're crazy. You know, I'm not talking about doing something dumb. You know, but I'm talking about, you know, it says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Why? Because you are following the Word of God. And you follow the biblical principles that are in this book. And there are going to be some people that think you're a little crazy. Why? Because of the stark contrast that it is with the unholy living that they are involved in. Are you willing to be different? But you know what? They may think you're a little crazy, but there's going to be what? Two completely different outcomes. One is the pathway of destruction. The way of the ungodly, Psalm 1 says what? Shall perish. And one is the pathway of life. You know, which pathway are you going to choose for your family this morning? Are you lingering? Is there an area of your life that you're lingering? Destruction's coming. You will reap what you have sown. You sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall reap what? Life everlasting. Which pathway are you going to choose this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. Lord, how easy it is in the day and age in which we live, Lord, to begin to compromise, to begin to lose, Lord, the understanding of the true way of righteousness. To begin to lose, Lord, the sense, the conscientiousness of what is truly righteous and holy. And Lord, to make small directional changes in our lives, that when we reach the end, or when those directional changes come to fruition in our children, or maybe in their children, they end up far away from you. Lord, may each one of us wake up to the spiritual reality of where we are at. Lord, none of us want destruction to come. But Lord, may we not be comfortable at any time in a place in which will come destruction. Lord, may you work in our hearts. May the Spirit of God reveal those issues in our lives this morning that we better stop lingering on, Lord, and we better go forward for you on. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, is there something that the Lord has spoken to your heart about? Maybe first of all, do you know for sure that you've been saved? You know, the difference is the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sin. And until you come to Him in faith, recognizing that your sin is going to send you to the lake of fire, but Jesus Christ died to set you free from your sin. And until you come to Him in faith, recognizing that His work on the cross will set you free, you're going to continue to go in the wrong direction. You say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has worked in my heart this morning about my need of salvation, my need to turn to Christ and to trust Him. Is there anyone like that this morning? The Lord's working in your life about salvation. All right, I wonder this morning, are you a believer? You know, there's a decision that you've made. Maybe the Lord's been working in your life about it. And you know there's a direction that needs to take place in your life. You've gone the wrong direction. You need to turn around. And you better stop lingering in that wrong direction that you've been going before it brings some area of destruction to your family. Is there anyone like that this morning? The Lord has spoken to your heart about something in one of those areas. All right, is there anyone else this morning? All right, is there anyone else? All right, you can put those hands down. I wonder, maybe it's a lost soul that you know you need to witness to. But you've been lingering. You know, you've been putting it off. Lord's work in your life this morning that, you know what, I need to stop lingering. I need to stop putting it off. And I need to follow what the Lord is doing in my life. Is there anyone like that this morning? Lord's working your heart in that area. All right, you can put those hands down. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would continue to work in our lives. Lord, may this message from your word be a warning to each one of us, Lord, to go forward. Lord, not sit by the wayside and wait until it's too late, but that we would make the decision before the destruction comes. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.